Penguin Random House Audio presents How to Take Care, an A to Z guide of radical remedies. Written and read by Aaron Williams and Kate Novotny.
This book is dedicated to everyone we've cared for and the people who've cared for us.
You are listening to a simple but radical guidebook for anyone who wants to learn how to care for themselves and others. In these chapters, you will find tangible steps toward freeing yourself, slowly, tenderly, with self-compassion, and one moment at a time. Use this audiobook however you need to. Listen straight through, skip around, or choose any chapter at random. Learn how to recognize trauma and its effects on the body, with tools and strategies to help you come back to yourself and live in the present. Discover the grounding of a clean sink and the joy of growing a flower from seed. Become curious about your inherent ability to heal. We know these remedies work because they've worked for us and the people we love. We came to each other as friends many decades ago now. We've loved each other through substance abuse and recovery, 3 weddings, 1 divorce, countless jobs and careers, the birth of 2 children, and the birth of new versions of ourselves. In many ways, we've mothered each other when no one else could or would. Mothering can be done by a person of any gender, by people we're related to biologically or not, by people who gave birth to us, who are present at our births, or whom we've only just met. It's a role of nurturing, feeding, caring for, teaching, scolding, guiding, cuddling, and showing up when everything else is falling apart. When you're cared for by a parental figure, it teaches you how to take care of yourself. In societies and ecosystems where new families are nurtured, mothering and the exchange of parenting wisdom come naturally. In the industrialized, colonized, dysfunctional, misogynist, and racist society in which we live, mothering, self-care, and care of others are skills that we need to reclaim, or perhaps learn from scratch. There is no shame in being an unmothered child. It's not your fault or your failure, not your parents, nor their parents before them. At the same time, it's our responsibility to heal the unmothered parts of ourselves. The process is slow, wild, and strange. It requires humility and courage. Healing is possible, but it's up to us.
Before we start, it's important to understand what trauma is and how it can affect us. When something harmful happens to us that we feel helpless to fight or change, trauma can result. We may experience trauma from a catastrophic event, such as war, sexual assault, or being the victim of or the witness to a violent crime. Or we might be affected by a series of less extreme but longer-term or chronic circumstances, such as having an alcoholic or mentally ill parent, living with financial stress or housing instability, or having our needs neglected as young children. Like you, we are human beings who have survived trauma, and we love and care for other survivors of trauma. Trauma can be personal and subjective, or passed down in family lines, intergenerational, and systemic. What matters is that when we experience or relive a traumatic event, we feel trapped in that moment. In The Body Keeps the Score, psychiatrist Bessel van der Kolk explains that when our fight or flight response is thwarted, our stress hormone levels stay high and don't fall back to baseline. This causes us to feel extreme agitation and panic long after the event itself, sometimes for no apparent reason. Trauma lives outside of space or time. There is no end to the perceived threat, and the language centers of the brain struggle to describe it. As a nurse and doula, Kate has learned a lot about trauma by listening to birth stories of friends and clients. One person may have had a near-death experience, but because of the care and support they received, their sense of autonomy remained intact, and the experience was not traumatic. Someone else may have had what many healthcare professionals describe as a good outcome or a healthy mom and baby, but because they felt trapped, in danger, or silenced, they experience post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. No matter how you respond, understand that it's not your fault. Your body is doing its best to try to protect you. Trauma, pain, and grief are not a sign of being broken, but an experience of being human. It's an inevitable part of the human story. One of the first steps in addressing trauma is to recognize that it's real, an actual living experience in your body and mind. Maybe some of these symptoms of PTSD sound familiar: physical pain, migraines, body aches, chest pain and stomach problems, nightmares, flashbacks and repetitive thoughts, depression or anxiety, numbing or dissociating, going blank, and hypervigilance, always feeling on edge, never feeling safe. Perhaps in the past you found that no matter how many teas you drank, massage appointments you booked, or self-care products you bought, you felt like the pieces didn't fit. We felt like that too. We learned that only in facing trauma and telling the truth, our whole stories, even the dark or shameful parts, we can become free. Let's begin.
A is for ancestors. In our longing to heal, we must trace the thread from the dark forest where we're lost in the trees. Many of us don't know our family histories beyond our grandmothers, their birthday cakes whose colorful candles we blew out, a smell of their perfume, the photos and objects they passed down. We don't always know much about our ancestors, the towns they came from, the foods they cooked, the saints or spirits they prayed to, because so many of them fed their cultures into the furnace of American industry. More recent generations traded intuition for ambition, ceremony for consumption, wisdom for technology. Frameworks for responsively raising our young, community connection, self-sustenance, and true medicine were lost to the American dream. To acknowledge your ancestors is to become curious about your family's origin story. We inherit so many elemental traits, but when the truths of our roots remain shrouded in stigma and shame, it takes more work to excavate and understand them. Therapist and storyteller Genevieve Slonim teaches us to ask our mothers, "How were you born?" This question can be a portal to reclaim the memories we long for. In My Grandmother's Hands, Resma Menakem describes how trauma is not only personal, but if left unexamined, can fester to become familial and intergenerational. He wrote, "Most of us think of trauma as something that occurs in an individual body, but trauma also routinely spreads between bodies, like a contagious disease. Many of us grow up exclusively learning the paternal side of our lineage, beginning with their last names. Learning the stories and lives of our feminine elders and their birth stories in particular illuminates what has been lost. Intergenerational trauma flourishes in the silence of our grandmothers' untold stories. To interrupt that spread of trauma, we have to dig down to the roots of our family tree. We have learned in addiction recovery and in caring for other people's bodies that healing is not simply a cognitive activity. Since ancestral trauma lives in the body, our healing must include and activate the body too. Grief and trauma are a spiral, like the double helix of our DNA, that expresses our specific physical existence and experience and offers a threshold back to where the injury first occurred. We can repair the broken chains of our stories by embodying ancestral memories. Learning to bake our great-grandmother's pie, visiting the small town where our grandmother gave birth to her first baby, swimming in the rivers of our mother's childhood. These are the full-body experiences that can transform our past and our future. Try this. Ask your relatives if they know the answers to these questions. What were the circumstances surrounding your mother's birth? How did your grandmother's labor unfold? What does she remember? What does she forget? How was she treated during the birth? Was she taught to honor and embrace the physiologic and holy process of bearing life? Or did she learn that birth is shameful, dirty, or dangerous? Was she taught that the suffering of birth was caused by the sin of Eve?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?